Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would put this song on a playlist in my music library.
Yeah.
This should be on Kiss FM and Power and Jack and all those stations.
And he wrote KLOS. He did it before the Super Bowl.
Right. And did you hear him say Aaron Donald gets to Burrow, yes he can,
yeah,
or whatever that
great
line is?
Great. What's that listener's name? Do we know?
Jeremiah Witten.
Really good, Jeremiah.
Yeah, really good, Jeremiah.
Really, really good.
He listens to us down in San Diego. So, hey, don't forget, Soccer Champions Tour featuring five iconic clubs from around the world, including Real Madrid, Juventus, Barcelona, Chivas Guadalajara, and Club America. This week, we're giving you a chance to see Real Madrid versus Juventus this Saturday at the Rose Bowl. Listen to the entire show for my lie of the day. If you figure it out, call in at 3:30. You will win those tickets. Visit SoccerChampionsTour.com. That's SoccerChampionsTour.com to get your tickets today. All right. So as you know, John, Steve Ballmer is building a new building in
Inglewood.
Inglewood,
right.
And so I think this was Om Yaman.
Young
Masuk, sorry.
Yeah, we know
Om. I struggle with that name. Om was interviewing Steve Ballmer a little bit. I want you to listen to some of this.
When you talk about Kawhi Leonard, and you have Paul George coming back, and you add John Wall into the mix, they can be the team to beat.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna cut that, because that actually isn't to the point that we want it. So Bergman and you, Jorge, cut that up a little bit. We'll skip that and come back to it.
Okay.
In the meantime, let me do this. Jeff Passan appeared on ESPN, and he was talking about Juan Soto and his possible destinations. Here's Jeff Passan.
Yeah, well, Santa Claus, I hate to say it, is not real, but the New York Yankees in this situation are, because they've got a number of reasons to go out and get Juan Soto. Number one, because they want to win a championship for the first time since 2009, and adding one of the best hitters in baseball to an already devastating lineup is a pretty good way to do it. Number two, because they've got the prospects to go out and do it, whether it's Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez, both of them certainly would be in a deal like this, and the depth that the Yankees have, particularly at the lower levels, particularly coming out of Latin America, they are dominant in that space. And because of that, the Yankee system is always replenishing itself year after year and allows them to go out and make a deal like this. And the other, color me shocked here, is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Has to be, yeah.
I don't think the Dodgers are in quite the same as certainly the Padres, Cardinals, and Yankees.
Should be in it quite the same. Remember, Trey Turner unlikely to be here next year. That's the thing we got to factor into everything, is that it appears that either contract negotiations didn't go anywhere with Trey Turner, or he's not interested in staying, which means adding a big bat like Soto makes up for the loss of Turner for next year.
Yeah. I haven't heard anybody lay out the Yankee argument as well as Passan just did.
Yeah, no, Passan's got
now it. I'm more worried about the Yankees than I am about the Mets. But Andrew Friedman is always in it.
Agreed.
Do you look along the top of your soundboard? There's a thing we played yesterday with Friedman. Explain it's in blue. Uh-huh. It's explaining why, and he can't come out right and say I'm going after Juan Soto, but he kind of does say that. Listen to this.
Yeah, obviously it's hard for me to talk about specific players on other teams, but you know, I will echo what I've said in the past, that star players don't come available very often. And so when they are, we owe it to our fans to be by the backboard and to see those things out. And you know, we've been fortunate to line up on some, but obviously there's a lot that goes into that in terms of future payroll outlook, runway of kind of talent coming from the minor leagues, you know, the control of our major league players and what we're anticipating in terms of holes as we look out. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But the one thing I know is whenever star-level players become available, we'll always have the conversation and dig in and try to make something make sense.
You know, the beautiful thing about Andrew Friedman is that he speaks in a language called word soup, and he never actually says anything. Like, he could talk for an hour about Juan Soto and never say anything about Juan
Soto.
But
it sounds like to me that that means they're in it. Like, they're monitoring this, and they're in it.
Very
and
cagey.
One reason to make a big offer on Soto is to keep him away from the Padres.
Right.
You know, if he goes to the Padres, then all of a sudden you're looking at Soto, Tatis, Machado all in a row, and that makes them a really formidable opponent.
It does.
And they're in your division. So I it'll be interesting. My gut feeling.
Yep.
And the trade deadline is this Tuesday, and it happens when we're on the air.
Yes.
3 o'clock this Tuesday.
Yep.
I think Juan Soto stays in Washington.
You think he stays?
Yeah. I think they'll trade him next year. But I don't think they're in any
next
hurry.
Year at the trade deadline or this winter? Because
he's
got one more year of team control.
This feels...
He's in the same spot as Ohtani. One more one more year of team control.
By the way, I don't think the Angels will trade Ohtani before Tuesday.
I don't think they're going to. Say that one more time.
Wait, no, are you talking about Ohtani?
Ohtani,
oh, no,
one more year.
Yeah.
Does Soto have two more years of team control?
Soto has two more years, so that would be three postseasons that you're getting him for.
By the way, you should weigh in on something we were kicking around yesterday.
Okay.
I look at Ohtani like Michael Jordan. I think he could win the MVP every single year because what he does is so much more valuable than any other player.
Yes.
I mean, he's the only guy that's playing two ways, and it's just, you know, he's the first guy since Babe Ruth to do it this successfully.
Yep.
So I think if I had an MVP vote, Ohtani is one or two every year. But this year, Judge is tearing the cover off the ball for a team that's won 66 games.
Yeah, he really is.
If you had an American League MVP vote that you had to cast today, Ohtani, Judge, or somebody else?
Wow. I would have to vote Ohtani.
That's what Clinton said. Now, don't you think, I would too, don't you think Judge is going to win? Because for whatever reason, people will say this. What difference does it make if Ohtani never does any of this in meaningful games? And the Angels could have the worst record in franchise history. They've been the worst team in the big.
Right.
They won today, by the way, the Angels did. They could finish with 60 wins.
Right.
Can you give the MVP to a team that finishes with 60
you
wins,
know
even though
can.
It's not his fault?
You can. They were not good last year.
Yeah.
And Ohtani still won the MVP. But there is an element of it's a traveling trophy. And for that reason, I think Aaron Judge will win it.
Me too.
Because the trophy needs to move around.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary.
And Ohtani could give it to Ohtani every year.
Every year, sure.
Yeah.
Every year.
Like with Jordan.
Yeah.
You could have given it to Jordan every year, and they didn't.
God, Aaron Judge.
They gave it to David Robinson 1 year, to Carl Malone 1 year.
38 homers, 82 RBIs. I mean, he could finish with 60 home runs.
We're not even in August.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's doing it in games that are really important, and he's doing it every night. And he's a good defensive outfielder.
Yes.
And by the way, he's available at the end of this year. How would you like him? How'd you like him in the Dodger outfield?
Why would the Yankees get involved in Juan Soto while you're going to need to try to sign Aaron Judge?
Right. Who gets more money, Judge or Soto? Probably Soto, right?
Soto's younger. Soto's younger.
What's
so he
Judge,
probably gets
28,
more.
29?
Yeah.
Might even be 30 now.
Yeah. But I think Soto gets more. Soto gets more. The Dodgers, I mean, honestly, last night you look at the bullpen. Obviously, they need to add an impact bullpen arm. They need to add a starter to their rotation. I know Andrew Heaney's back today. And what's the score now of the game?
6-0.
6-0 in the sixth.
Juan Soto just struck out.
Heaney was
very good.
Oh,
don't get
today.
Him. He's a bum.
Heaney
was very good
going
today.
Down.
But I think they need to add. I'd love to see him add Luis Castillo to the rotation because you just don't know what's going to happen to Walker Buehler.
Hey, so the guy that won the Angel game today, the winning pitcher for the Angels,
yep,
is Jason J-U-N-K. Jason, is it pronounced Junk? What a great name for a pitcher. You know, if your name is Jason Junk, would you change the pronunciation to Yunk?
Right. Well, no, I went to school. Well, when I was in elementary school, there was a kid named Jehovah Junk.
Mm-hmm.
And we called him Jed but his last name was Junk. So he was Jed Junk.
There's a soccer player, a hockey player with the last name S-A-T-A-N.
Satan.
He pronounces it Satan.
Satan. Yes. Probably for the best.
It's like your designer at the Mandy's. Amazon.
Amazon.
What about the Clippers waved a guy named Jay Scrub today?
Yeah.
Really? Jay Scrub?
He's actually a pretty good player.
Right, really? But he's a scrub.
Yeah.
That's a tough name. Yeah, seriously, tough crowd.
Tough crowd.
But if your name's Jason Junk, that's a great name for the pitcher. Can't hit Junk's Junk.
Jed Junk, by the way, at Fairfield Elementary School, was famous for throwing up on Linda Karotny's desk. I remember it clear as day.
During school?
Mrs. Brazeau's class, second grade class, Jed Junk. All right. Have you seen all the shark attacks?
No. When?
They've been all over the place. We haven't had any out here, but they're showing drone shots of all the sharks that are just off the coast here. And then there have been shark attacks back east where people are afraid to go into the water. Last week was actually Shark Awareness Week. I never got a chance to talk about this.
Maybe that's why.
I'm aware of sharks, and that is why I never go in the ocean.
You know what I think of when you talk about this? Mm. That when we asked everybody, this came up yesterday on the show, you weren't here. When we asked everyone what the scariest movie they ever saw was, you said The Exorcist. I said Jaws. Bergman said Ernest Scared Stupid.
It was terrifying.
That is ridiculous.
You know the story.
Scariest movie ever.
That is so stupid.
Terrifying.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Seriously, that is soft.
Go back in time. Go back in time when you were 7 years old. Watch this movie and tell me it was not terrifying.
Jaws, The Exorcist, Ernest Scared Stupid.
We've done this exercise before on Twitter. People are going to be like, yeah, that movie was awful. It was very scary. Yeah. It was extremely scary. It was not a kid's
Your
movie.
Your choice is awful.
You're awful.
Scariest movie ever. Ernest Scared. Oh, nice retort.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, snappy
you're really,
comeback
you're really
there, Greg.
Back today. You're awful.
You're awful.
You're awful, too. I mean it. Awful.
Just the worst.
Just the worst. You're awful.
You're awful, sir.
Awful.
Steven, sir.
All right. Coming up next. Yeah, the shark attack thing is real. John, it is a proven fact that I have not been in the ocean since I moved to California.
What is wrong with you? You used to live, literally, I could have thrown a baseball
never,
from your patio to the ocean.
Would never go into the ocean under any circumstances.
Oh, I'm going
to
get you over that.
Would never, when we went to Hawaii, when we went to Costa Rica.
Wait a minute.
When we
went to Hawaii and didn't go in the ocean?
Absolutely not. Tiger sharks are the worst.
What
They're
in
like
the world is
They're
wrong
like
with you? Why go to Hawaii? Why not go to Montana?
Tiger sharks are like little swimming bulldogs.
Seriously, what's the point
like
of going to Hawaii if you don't go in the water?
You have pools, you have sun, you've got food.
Right, but you could do all that at Terranea and not pay $1,000 each to fly to Hawaii.
I got to tell you, I don't have any, I don't think it's that weird.
It is.
It isn't.
It is.
A lot of people
You also don't think it's weird that you eat all your meals in bed, right? Oh, by the way, somebody asked a legitimate question when we had the scale out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
The question was, Mace.
Yes.
If you stop eating your meals in bed and eat at a table, I bet you lose a little more weight.
No.
Do you buy it?
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do either.
I think my bed is the best place.
I think
place
where
to eat.
You consume food is irrelevant to your weight.
To what you consume.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I've learned over the years, and Bergman, you know this because you're counting your calories and doing all that stuff with your Lose It app. I'm doing the Noom
Just
app. And I'm a bad advertiser for Noom because I'm up over the last 5 days. But the whole thing with it is it's always what you put in your mouth. It's not working out.
Hey, Bergman.
It's absolutely true. And by the way, David Kent just texted me. He said, Mason is safe as sharks never attack whales.
Hey, Bergman.
F David Kent.
Is Andrew Heaney throwing a one-hitter?
It might be somewhere right around there, yeah. He's been pitching great. He just came off the IL.
Wait, well, he hasn't been pitching at all.
I know.
Those two statements were contradictory.
No, he just
he's
came
been pitching
I said,
great. He just came off the IL.
Today,
he hasn't pitched at all.
Yeah. Today, he's been pitching great. And he's actually been pitching great for the whole season.
Can I just go back for a minute?
To David Kent?
Calling you a whale?
David Kent, one more time. What did he say?
He said, Mason is safe as sharks never attack whales.
David. Our one British salesman.
Yeah. Make fun of his teeth. He'll love that.
No, he's the one Brit who's got decent teeth.
He does?
Yeah, he's got
I've
decent
never noticed.
Teeth.
I just assume he's from Britain. He probably has bad teeth.
By Brit standards, pretty good. All right, coming up next, I've got that Ballmer thing now.
Okay, cool.
The Ballmer, Clippers Town, whatever we say. We got Ballmer coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, damn. I thought Ireland was going to be late to the can and we could do the Steve Mason show, but John's back.
Well, you could still do the Steve Mason show.
No.
I'll sit out a segment.
No, not at all.
You're going to be doing it at Camp 710, so get used to it.
Yeah, right. I will be doing the Steve Mason show from Camp 710. So, all right. John, Steve Ballmer, who is the owner of the Clippers, always an excitable fellow. Steve Ballmer, always
fired up to be here today.
Always fired up to be here today. He did an interview with Young Masuk. And here is a little bit of that, a little taste of it.
After sharing the same building with the Lakers, being in a Laker town, but like right here where center court's going to be, what goes through your mind?
You said this is a Laker town. No, Laker Clipper. And someday I want to be able to say Clipper Laker.
How much will this mean to that cause?
I think it's another statement that says, hey, look, we're nobody's little brother. We're a real team. At the end of the day, we still got to win games. We got to win championships. If we can give that to Clipper Nation and fulfill my responsibility as a steward, then I'll feel good.
Yeah, I'd like to let me address this first.
Okay.
Clippers suck.
Fired up to be here today.
Okay, now take it away, John.
He
seems delusional to me.
Let me preface this by saying I think Steve Ballmer is good for the NBA.
I do too.
Have a guy with that deep of pockets.
And to care as much as he cares.
Right. And to, I mean, I've seen what bad owners can do,
mm-hmm.
i.e. Sterling, comma,
yep.
Donald. And it is a huge breath of fresh air to have a guy who actually gives a crap
right.
running the Clippers. Having said that, I don't think he quite... It's almost like he doesn't live here. I mean, how...
Yeah.
Did he not grow up here? He grew up in Seattle, right?
Grew up in
he went
Seattle.
To Michigan in college. Is he still living in Seattle?
It's a good question. I don't...
For anybody to make the statement that we're nobody's little brother, by definition, the Lakers
yeah.
were here first.
So...
You'll always... Just because you think you're not the little brother doesn't make you the big brother
correct.
Or equal to the big brother. The Lakers are always going to have heritage over you in
but
this town.
Every little brother thinks they're going to be the big brother, right?
Right.
That, so
well,
that's
he, can
just,
think, he can think it.
That's just a fact. Every little guy thinks that they can be the big guy.
Fired up to be here today.
So and, I wondered, though, John, from your perspective, let's see, Staples Center or Crypto.com Arena opened in 1999 with a Bruce Springsteen concert. I was actually just talking about this morning on a podcast. It is now 20-something years old. Steve Ballmer is building what is, by all accounts, what has been described as the SoFi Stadium of basketball arenas. What impact do you think that has?
Well, I think it'll be the every research project I've ever read on the subject of sports teams in this town.
Yes.
Is that the Clippers have a loyal fan base, but it's small. It's
yeah,
the
yeah.
same 20,000 people that care about the Clippers.
Yes.
Millions of people care about the Lakers.
Worldwide, yeah.
The Lakers is an international brand. Did you hear Draymond Green's joke at the ESPYs?
Yes,
he
I go, think I...
He said,
even,
I'm live here
it,
in Los
think.
Angeles, home of seven professional teams and the Clippers.
Yes.
I think it's good that Steve Ballmer is spending money on the NBA.
Yep.
I think he's good for the league.
I think it's good that he's into it. Right? Like when an owner's into it, I think it's good for the sport, like Cuban into it.
But I think you use the word delusional.
Yeah, he's delusional.
And I think that that's a good word in this case. The even if the Clippers won the title next year, it would be like that one year when the Angels won the World Series. You know?
Oh, yeah, no.
You just go back to
2002, just like bam, out of nowhere, and then never again.
You just go back to being the Angels after it's over.
Do you think it's kind of like, because it's the Lakers that they're going up against, if they were in New York, right? If the Clippers, this whole Clippers team was in New York, could they take over New York? Could they take over Houston? I think it's just Los Angeles, right? Because the Lakers are such a dominant force.
Right.
Hold on. What's going on over there, man?
I'm live from L.A., home of 7 professional teams and the Clippers.
I mean, I think that's how people think of the Clippers. And by the way, that was last week.
Yeah, the ESPYs last Wednesday,
It just seems to me if Steve wants to build up the Clipper brand. Wow. You just got hit in the head with an iPad.
Can I just ask, why do we have all these things sitting in the studio?
It's so they can stream.
I know, but it's a friggin' hazard to me.
Well, that's actually, you just knocked out my camera, but that's okay. This is your camera right here.
Oh, that's my.
So don't worry about that. Just throw that up against the wall.
Okay, got it.
The other wall. The one, so it won't hit you in the head.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm on TV. You do.
Please try not to break the equipment.
I live for this.
Yeah.
Josh, I live for it.
The one thing I wouldn't do if I was Steve Ballmer.
Yes.
Is try and engage a conversation that compares the Lakers to the Clippers because he can't win that.
Yeah, I would avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
Why would you go to your new building where you're getting a new start and all that stuff and talk about the same old thing? Like, don't
if
even
I were
challenge
him,
the
I
Lakers.
Would adopt the same thing Urban Meyer adopted when he was the head coach at Ohio State.
Which was?
He would not say the word Michigan.
Ah.
For any reason.
For any reason.
Yeah.
What do you say?
When
Wolverines?
He became a TV announcer, he would not say Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. And the other guys on the set would try and get him to say it. They'd be doing the Michigan Notre Dame game. And he would go, well, I'll tell you, if that's your team, you do this. What team? You're not going to get me to say it.
Right.
But I think that where he gets in trouble,
yep.
Where Steve Ballmer gets in trouble, is trying to say that the Lakers and the Clippers are somehow equal
or
in the same class.
Yeah.
They're just not. Here's a good example. It's a little inside baseball, but I think it'll make people understand.
Okay.
It. And this was the case when the roles were reversed. Okay. We just signed a big new radio deal to carry the Laker games for the next several years.
Yeah.
We paid the Lakers an enormous rights fee.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, Craig Karmazin, our boss, said it's the biggest check he's ever written.
Yeah.
The Clippers, who are on our competitor, pay them to air the games.
Right.
Okay? That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
All right? It seems to me that if the Clippers want to try and carve out a niche and put up a spectacular new building that's around the corner from SoFi and try and win a title or two, they should absolutely they should absolutely try and do that. If they're going to try and sell us that we're as good or better than the Lakers, good luck.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous concept. It's a ridiculous concept. In 100 years, I think this will still be a Laker town. A
friend of mine just texted me. Clippers social media following, Twitter, Facebook, etc. 10.4 million. Lakers, 41 million.
Okay.
I mean,
their Twitter is 10.8 million alone.
Yeah.
So their Twitter is more than all of their social media.
Right. If you're trying to get your, you lose all credibility if you're trying to make the argument, we're as good as the Lakers. Because you're not. You don't have the history. You don't have the heritage. You don't have the following. You don't have the brand.
100%.
But that doesn't mean you can't go build your own brand. You should.
Right, and that's what they're doing. So here's a question, John. I was thinking of, with the new Ballmer building, I was thinking, God, if you're a band and you come to town, where do you choose to play? You can play the Hollywood Bowl, the Greek, the Forum, Microsoft Arena, which is right here, Crypto.com Arena, the YouTube Theater at SoFi Stadium, the Bank of California Stadium, or the Ballmer Building. All of a sudden, aren't all these places going to be fighting for acts all of a sudden?
Now, my friend just texted me back. Excuse me, Lakers north of $50
million. North of $50
million.
Okay. There you go.
I would take the Hollywood Bowl just because I think it's a unique L.A. experience.
But if it's that summer, Forum, Microsoft, Crypto, YouTube Theater, Bank of California, well, that's an outdoor.
Yeah.
Ballmer Arena, it's tough.
Well, the newer the better, right?
Yeah.
So the Forum or the new Ballmer Arena would probably be the best.
The Forum's great. Have you seen been to the Forum?
Yeah,
the
just went to the Eagles there this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I saw the U2 there a couple of times last year, and it's a great place to see a show. The underrated place to see a show is Bank of California Stadium. I'm going to see the Killers there.
Oh, good band.
This month, and then going to see Imagine Dragons there in September. And Bank of California is a beautiful place to see it. It's just a beautiful park. All right, coming up next for you, John, Draymond Green said something very provocative, which is his job, right?
That's his brand.
Said something very provocative I want to bounce off you. Coming up, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And I just sent this tweet. What's up today? Tell me something funny.
To who?
To our Twitter world.
Oh, just to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody got anything funny? Bergman, do you have anything funny?
For what?
Nothing.
Just in general?
Jorge, anything funny?
Yeah, sharks don't attack whales.
Sharks don't attack
whales.
Yeah,
that was funny.
That was very
funny.
That was
funny.
Good.
Screw you. So I decided, I heard Kaplan during a promo saying he's going to be the president of the slow guy society, I think.
Yeah, he says he runs very slow.
I don't run at all. I'm with Sedano. And then Clinton's got the handsome man society. Is that right? Handsome man society?
Handsome Man Community.
Handsome Man Community. And I am going to start a brand new, the International Association of Fat Stoners. Do you think I'll get members?
I think you will. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people in that group.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as me. All right, so John, Draymond Green came out and said this. He told, this is Marcus Thompson from The Athletic. He wants and believes he deserves a max contract extension. Is Draymond Green a max contract extension guy?
Not to me, but he might be to the Warriors because he's kind of their emotional leader. Those guys are all hedge fund guys.
Yep.
There's an interesting article in The Athletic today that explains just how much money they would end up paying if they re-signed everybody, and everybody being Draymond, Clay, Jordan Poole, and Andrew Wiggins. They're all up within the next 2 years.
Mm.
If they were to re-sign all of those people for max deals, their payroll, which was an already record over $300 million this year, would be over $500 million, be $574 million. Joe Lacob indicated he's not willing to go that
high. Yeah, he's worth billions.
So, no, but I don't think he's willing to spend $574 million. He seemed like he wouldn't. So let me flip the question.
Yeah, okay.
If it was, you get to keep two of the four, okay?
Oh, two of the four is really tough.
Poole, Wiggins, Clay, Draymond, who are you keeping?
Well, Poole, they don't have to pay for how long?
Next year.
Next year.
They got him under contract for one more year. Yeah.
I mean, the core of the team is obviously Draymond, Steph, and Clay.
Right. But are they moving forward? And what does Draymond do? And does that is he a replaceable skill?
I don't think he is. I don't think there are other Draymonds. Are there other Draymonds? Who is another Draymond? Who does what he does?
It'd have to be somebody who plays elite
guards 1 to 5.
Yeah, it plays elite defense.
Gritty, tough defender.
Who?
Emotional leader.
Yeah, fits in. That's a good thing. Who is a comp for Draymond?
Yeah, I don't
That is a good. I mean, Giannis is, but Giannis is, does more than Draymond.
Oh, yeah, Giannis.
Wow, that's a great question. I'm racking my brain, going through it. Can guard all five positions.
Yep.
It's only like megastars. It's all max guys.
Right.
LeBron.
Yeah. It's all the elite guys.
Yeah.
It's all the elite guys. That's why I think, and you know, Joe Lacob in the end is worth billions of dollars. Why does he care about $574 million? Why does he care? He's got a new arena. He's printing money. Literally,
that he owns.
You know,
by
they've
the way.
Got an actual printing press printing money at the arena in San Francisco. Why does he care about paying $574 million?
You would have to ask him.
Yeah.
I think.
Did he say he won't pay it?
Yeah, read the article in The Athletic. It talks about he's indicated that even going north of $400 million wasn't smart. Mm. Just that's not how you run a business, I guess. He's got a lot of investors and he's got a board, and I think if they go into that territory, they're losing money, which is okay. He's got a lot of it,
right?
But maybe his other fellow owners don't want that.
Don't want it exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let me pivot to something here. Jerry Jones is apologizing. He did a talk yesterday about Cowboys executive Larry Lacewell.
Who passed away. I've met Larry Lacewell. He passed away this year. He's been a member of the Cowboys, a scout for them for many, many years. Larry is very, very short. I'll put it that way. Okay.
And Jerry used the word in describing him and in talking about him, he used the word midget.
Okay.
Which is no longer a term that is
politically correct.
Right. Little people do not like being called that word.
Right.
Jerry apologized, right? To me, this is a good example of how to handle a situation when you say the wrong stuff. You just come out right away and you apologize. Say, sorry about that.
Yep.
Didn't mean to. You can't measure my life by this. That's the way you've got to deal with those kinds of things. That word just doesn't get used anymore. There are a lot of words like that have just, you know, you're not allowed to say, I mean, come from the gay guy. Not allowed to say, that's so gay. You can't say that. Just don't say it. Clean it up.
But here's what's interesting. You can say it.
Well, but I would never say it.
Yeah, like you've said before, I'm one of the gays.
I'm one of the, I am one of the gays.
I would only say that if you say it first.
Right, you can't say you're one of the gays. I could say I'm one of the gays.
Yeah. It is.
By the way, I put the definite article there just because I like doing that. The HBO.
I had a gay listener of ours object to you using that.
Oh,
and
really?
I wrote back to
what
him.
Did they say?
I wrote back, I might be able to find it. I wrote back, hey, you know, Mace is, he's not making fun of anybody. He legitimately is gay. And he wrote back, he goes, I know, but it's a bad look. And I went, okay, I'll tell him. I don't even remember if I did tell you. But I'm trying to find exactly what Jerry Jones said because the apology was a little bit.
Okay, so here's what he said. Steven and I went over to Jonesboro, and a lot of our staff, certainly our scouts, and wanted to give a big memorial to Lace, again talking about
Larry Lacewell.
Lace held court out there in Oxnard. I'm going to get me somebody a M word. To stand up there with me and dress him up like Lace and think Lace is still out there and helping us to practice. So in other words, he's saying Larry Lacewell was really short, so he's going to get a little person, and he used that term, and later he apologized for that.
Okay, so here is the apology, okay?
Yep.
He, which is kind of weird. He said, earlier today I made a reference which I understand may have been viewed as offensive. I apologize. Is that a good apology?
That's a good question. Say it again.
Earlier today, I made a reference which I understand may have been viewed as offensive. I apologize.
The important words are, I apologize.
Right, but isn't that kind of akin to, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry. Isn't a better way of wording that? Earlier today, I said something stupid. I shouldn't have said it. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right, when you say, Bergman, isn't this code for, I really don't feel that bad about it. I made a reference which I understand may have been viewed as offensive.
I'm very sorry if I offended you.
Now you're getting in trouble.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. If I offended you.
Anytime you have that in your apology, it sounds like you're trying to wiggle out.
By the way, that kind of response is why I'm divorced.
Right.
Because you used to say, if I offended you, I apologize.
Exactly.
And she went, if you offended me.
Right. What do you mean? You know what gets me in one is agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. That there is always going to be a big argument after agree to disagree. Wait a minute. You don't
that
agree?
That could be the theme of this show.
Agree to disagree. Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason and Ireland.
Bergman, if Bobcat stinks, I don't apologize. I think you suck.
Yes.
Can't wait for it to be terrible.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Dolphins' new head coach, Mike McDaniel, had a press conference in front of media today after their first practice. After the session today, he took a selfie with the entire media behind him. Why do you think he did this?
Well, he's a weird dude in kind of a good way. He's kind of quirky.
Oh, I mean, he took a selfie with the media.
If you've ever heard him talk, he has a kind of a unique way of speaking. He's very rah-rah. I think that his attitude is make friends with everybody you meet.
Yeah.
And this is just him being him. So I'm all about you be you. I have no issue with it.
I'm all about you be you. And by the way, those people are going to be writing about you all year long. I mean, they're going to be reporting on you all year long.
McVay kind of does the same thing. He plays along with the media.
Yeah, you kind of go along.
Well, playing along with him is one thing, but like taking a selfie with him, is this to make it so that they are less inclined to rip him if he does something wrong?
No, I could see McVay doing that. I could see McVay pulling his phone out of his pocket going, hey, Veronica thinks I'm at the beach. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell her, look, I'm not. And then you can send that out on social. I mean, it depends what your personality is. Would Bill Belichick do it?
No.
Hell no. Would Sean McVay? Maybe.
Yeah. By the way, and people write differently about you when they feel like they have a relationship with you. And so if this is a step in relationship building so that later on in the year when things don't go right, you get a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because of the selfie. I understand it.
All right, so it's basically like, oh, that was a terrible fourth down call, but
buttering them up.
He took a selfie with me, so I'm going to say something nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's my theory.
Bobcat.
All right, so the Spice Girls were a massive hit in the 90s and 2000s. They haven't been together though in years until now. Victoria Beckham is going to join the group for a new docuseries after turning down a chance to join them in 2019 for a reunion tour. Are you excited for the Spice Girls docuseries, John?
No, I've never
this
really...
This is right up your alley.
Yeah, I've never really been into the Spice Girls, and I met Victoria Beckham once at a party.
Mm-hmm.
When the Kings won the Stanley Cup, Tim Leiwicki had the cup over at his house and invited a bunch of people over there, and I went over there to see the Stanley Cup, and David and Victoria Beckham were there. She is gorgeous, needs it, but Mace, skinniest woman I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean, like ever seen in person. I was
not
worried.
Unhealthy skinny?
I was worried, but you know, apparently not. Who am I to you know, I'm the guy that walked in with a scale today. but she's never really done it for me like the other train wrecks on
right.
In
well, she's really not a train wreck.
Right. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, you know, she's married, she's a mom, yeah. She's, you know, she's got her act together. Greg, I need some damage.
Do you know the five Spice Girls? Right. Do you know them?
Let me try.
Okay.
She is posh.
Posh, correct.
There is sporty.
Sporty, yes.
Okay. There is, this may be as far as I can go. Okay, so Posh Spice. Scary Spice.
Scary, yep.
It's Mel C or B.
Mel B. Is she Scary Spice?
Yep, she's scary.
I don't know the other two.
It's Baby and Ginger.
Oh, those are easy. Ginger was Jerry Halliwell because she had red hair.
And Ginger was always my favorite.
Yeah.
And John,
she got a job Baby in the Spice. British government somehow.
You say Baby Spice?
Yeah. You said Baby Spice. And Ginger.
Baby and Ginger. So Juan was a huge Spice Girls fan. So I ended up going to a Spice Girls concert and actually had a lot of fun. They were
Very popular.
They were good.
In their day.
I think it was like Sporty Spice would always kick her leg up like that. And that was like a big thing.
Wait, like how?
Like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
I wish I would have got my camera.
It's a visual. It's a visual medium, isn't it? It's a visual medium.
And Josh took the iPad.
Yeah, it's not Josh. On camera. Sorry, Josh.
Jeez, Josh,
you missed out. Missed out.
All right,
Bobcat.
Jorge.
Gentlemen, after 40 years, the Choco Taco from Klondike has
been discontinued. Saw this. Yeah. This is an outrage.
I love that thing. Outrage. So good.
Yeah, what you know they got rid of. It's over.
I know they got rid of the Choco Taco, the one covered in chocolate, like the Grand.
You know, had they, Jorge, reached out to the power of Mason in Ireland, I believe we could have saved the Choco Taco.
Man, that was one of my favorites. So, what is your favorite ice cream aside from the Choco Taco?
Okay, there are two things.
Coolaco for sure.
Coolaco, yeah. Coolaco, which are getting harder and harder to get, and original drumsticks. With vanilla ice cream, not these new ones with all the different kinds of ice cream and caramel and BS in the middle. The original drumstick, one of those two. Coolaco drumstick.
I got to go Klondike bar, man. Klondike
never
bars
go wrong with a Klondike
really,
bar.
Really, really good.
You know, there's an ad right now, and their theme is what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Right.
And they walk up to, I'm not making this up. They walk up to the guy and they say, would you shave one of your eyebrows for a Klondike bar? Oh. He does it, and then they shave it, and that's the commercial.
Wow.
So, Mace, maybe you were meant to get free Klondike bars.
Free Klondike bars. Yeah, what about you, Jorge? You're now that there's no Choco Taco, what are you going to do?
I still like those sandwiches, those ice cream sandwiches.
The Toll House ones?
Yeah, or those.
They're great.
Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah, they're great.
They're really good. Yeah, yeah, with the chocolate
Bergman?
Chip cookie.
The Toll House. The Toll House chocolate.
The Toll House one is really good.
The cookie ones. I'm obsessed with
also, cookies. The Mega Millions went up to 1.2 billion.
Is it 1.2 now?
1.02, yeah.
Oh,
nobody won it. Nobody won it yesterday.
No.
So wait, now I bought tickets for the one yesterday. Do I got to go buy new tickets?
You buy new tickets in order for you to be able to win.
So does that mean my numbers are no good?
No good. You got to get new ticket, new numbers.
When's the next drawing?
I think Friday.
All right. So I got to do it tomorrow or Friday morning.
We're all going to pitch in?
Let's all pitch in.
Yeah.
How many are we buying?
What do you think? 20 bucks each?
20 bucks each? I'm down.
I'll do it right now. Who's going? Will you go, Jorge?
I got $6 on me, but I can send you $20.
Oh, here we go.
I have $6 in cash.
Hey, big spender.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I can
send
you
$20. Wait. So if you got 20, 20 here, Mace is going in 20. If we win it, Bergman gets reduced.
Stop trying to take me out of things.
By 14% because he only contributed $6.
Hey, how about
I'm contributing 20.
How about this? Each show picks six numbers, right? Because that's what it is, six numbers.
Okay.
Whoever wins the most gets free lunch from the other two shows.
Oh, gets the most
hits
numbers.
The most numbers.
Right.
I'm in. Ooh. Yeah, I'm in if you want to do it.
If the other shows want to do it, I'm
23. I got a feeling 23 is going to be one of the numbers.
All right.
Jot that down. I feel good about 23. Right.
Shocking.
I'm just
going to
do
auto
pick. With our numbers, I'm just going to do auto pick at the liquor store.
Oh, yeah, okay. Do it. Okay, good. I'm in.
Yeah, 1.2. But I love the people who say, I never normally buy tickets, but since it's 1.2 billion, I will. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't settle for 100 million 6 weeks ago?
Seriously.
Now you're jumping in that it's 1.2 billion. Now, this is the highest it's ever been, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like you win this, you're like Elon Musk.
Pretty much.
Well, not exactly.
Well, you take it in half.
Yeah.
Take one lump.
All right, so 1.2 billion, that means we'd each get roughly 270 million.
Man,
Jorge, are you coming to work the next day if you get 270 million?
Maybe not, man.
Mason swears he is. I'm with you, Jorge. I'm out.
I'm in.
If I win 270 million,
I'm out.
You're replaced. I'm replaced. It's Mason and Bobo with a new board op.
Bobo is corporate Greg because I'm coming in.
Can we do a chemistry test with Bobo?
Yeah, why
where
not?
Where is Bobo?
Do we hire Bobo yet? The Mason and Bobo show?
Yeah. Well, that, and by the way, $270 million, the second that check clears, see ya.
You know, later on this month when John goes on vacation, we're going to spin the wheel of hosts every day. It's going to be spin the wheel of Bobos. So somebody, who's today's Bobo?
Today's Bobo, I don't know.
Who's coming in for St. Honor today?
Kirk.
All right,
Kirk.
So, well, Kirk's not really a Bobo.
He's not a Bobo.
Not at all.
No,
yeah.
I've seen
he also hits a lot of
softball.
Home runs.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He can crank one.
Bobcat.
All right, so this is not a Stranger Things question. It just has to come. It just
good, because neither one of us watch it.
Exactly. So the Duffer brothers are the creators of the show,
yes.
And at one point in season two, they established a birthday for one of the main characters named Will Byers for March 22nd.
Okay.
Then in season four, they mentioned the same date but didn't acknowledge that it was his birthday, and fans got really, really mad.
Oh, boy.
So the Duffer brothers are now going to go back and retroactively change the season two birth date. Do you have a problem with fixing continuity issues in show movies retroactively?
No, not for something like that.
You know, I guess this is one of those nerdy fan shows where they're paying attention to every detail.
Imagine it was Game of Thrones.
Easter eggs and all
Although,
that kind of business.
Something weird happened. Let me see if I can tell this story without spoilers. I can. Okay. So in the most...
That all just worked out in your head real fast?
Yeah, yeah. The most recent episode of Better Call Saul. Are you caught up?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, the taxi cab driver,
yes.
Carol Burnett's son.
Yeah.
He actually made an appearance earlier in Better Call Saul, and it was a different actor.
Ah.
And, like, I wouldn't go back and change that. But something as easy as a birthday, why not?
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, but like, you're okay with changing an original property,
yeah,
basically.
Sure.
Yeah, especially one that's been around for 10 minutes. I mean, I'm not going to go back
like
and change
years.
The Godfather. Well, I know, but who's going back? Yeah, that's a good point. Who's going back and watching season two of Stranger Things?
Oh,
right
people
now?
Do it all
Are
the time.
Are you kidding me?
No, my daughter goes and back to watch all
it's
of them
like
all
from
over
five
again.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
People
it's,
are going back and
you,
watching from 5 years ago?
Well,
did you go back and watch Game of Thrones?
For the first time. Yeah, I did. I
yeah,
went
you
back.
Watched The Godfather. What if they went back and retroactively changed something in The Godfather?
I just said if something has stood the test of time, you shouldn't change it. But if something's been around for a couple of years, I don't see what the big deal
All
is.
Right, so,
by the way, for the fans, I mean, lighten up,
right,
kids.
Yeah, well, I mean,
seriously, lighten up, kids.
Well, but, you know, Greg, sure. You bring up an interesting concept. What if it was something, you know, there are things that are no longer acceptable. Like Michael sends me clips from old Sanford and Son shows.
Nope, can't do any of it.
And you could never get away. Like Fred Red Fox used to use the N-word. You could never get away with that today. I wonder if they would go back, or like All in the Family, Mace, if TV Land started running old All in the Family.
Right, right.
Would they not run scenes or episodes that are politically incorrect today?
Huh.
Or do you think you could trust the audience to realize it was a different time?
I actually think that if it's smartly written, you
But can what if it's just somebody get... being a racist?
Well, if it's somebody being a racist, you can't air that anywhere, right?
Right.
Like who's...
Like Archie Bunker saying something racist.
Yeah,
could you,
you
air that today?
What's funny about Archie Bunker is he was the butt of every joke.
Right.
He was a racist, but he was the butt of every joke. I think that's what made
But if he's
all
if he's arguing
work.
With Meathead, with Rob Reiner, and he said and he says, "Hey, Meathead, you're not letting those N-words move in next door." They're, you know, and he says a bunch of stereotypical mean unacceptable things about black people. Can you air that scene in 2022 even on an old rerun channel like TV Land?
Well, I would say it's a case of it's a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Like if you cited an exact example, I
like
would say,
that one you couldn't air.
Right, but I don't know that he ever necessarily did that specific thing.
Let me send you some of the stuff that Michael sends me from Sanford and Son.
I know that. But let me ask you. Hang on 1 second, because I got to pull up a document because there's something I talked about today that kind of ties into this. Actually, I'll hold it for next. It's a really good subject.
Okay, good.
Bergman, do you have a kick off the planet?
Oh, sure, if you want me to.
Yeah,
let me
do
just
it.
Hit this button real fast. This
Bobcat.
Is
Bobcat.
All right, so it is The Sopranos or The Wire. Never existed. One has to go.
Mm.
Really? You're making us get rid of one of those?
Yes.
That's
yes,
tough.
I am.
That is tough.
The Wire.
Both HBO shows, both massive hits.
Both aired at roughly the same time.
And have about the same amount of seasons.
I'm kicking them. I've decided they're both spectacular shows. They're both top five shows for me, but I'm kicking The Wire off.
I'm going the other way.
I'm going the other way, too.
Yeah, I'm keeping The Wire and kicking The Sopranos up, but it's painful.
Very close. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it's super painful. Yeah, that is a brutal one. Quit coming up with ones where we have to get rid of stuff that we love. That's kind of the point of the bit.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go with like a staples or tape?
Yeah.
Yeah, staples or tape.
Staples or tape. Do that one for tomorrow.
Were you here when I did apples or oranges?
Yeah, I mean, he did. That was a,
apples or oranges?
He did what you did that time you forgot to lie.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
said, hey, I just, like, right before Lie of the Day was going to get revealed, you said, I just got an email from Northridge, and they want me to speak at their graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was basic. The other day, Bergman goes, okay, kicking off the planet, apples or oranges? And we looked at him, and we went, did you just forget to write it?
Sure did.
Yep.
Sure did.
Totally forgot to. But it actually was an interesting conversation.
By the way, what's your answer to that?
Apples or oranges? I kick apples off. I eat oranges more than I eat apples. Yeah. Now, Juan eats multiple apples.
Yeah, I was the other way. Yeah. I went the other way. I eat too many apple-flavored things.
By the way, do you think I have lied yet?
I do.
Yeah. You say, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I got it.
You did. You guys both did.
There are many stories in there.
Yeah, there are.
Many stories in there. If you can identify today's lion, call in at 3:30. You win a pair of tickets to see Real Madrid versus Juventus on Saturday at the Rose Bowl. Lie of the Day at 3:30. And by the way, all the five iconic clubs from around the world, including Real Madrid, Juventus, Barcelona, Chivas Guadalajara, and Club America, all part of the Soccer Champions Tour. You can visit soccerchampionstour.com. That's soccerchampionstour.com to get yours today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.